And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the entrepreneurial spirit. And again, thank you to Bill Montgomery, the Maricopa County attorney, for stopping in. He's just an awesome guy.
He is a great guy.
I really like him. And I hope he runs again.
He will.
And I'm from a different political party than he is, and I think he's the greatest.
No, you're not.
Well, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Well, so am I.
Yeah, I know.
But we like him. What's up with that?
I have tremendous respect for him.
Oh, yeah. He is so smart.
Because he's fair.
Yes,
he's fair,
exactly.
Integrity. You nailed it down.
Yeah. He must have been a tremendous officer in the military because of his open-mindedness, and you have to have that to be an officer.
Well, he has those innate leadership skills that, you know, like if you were in combat, he's the kind of guy you wouldn't question to follow.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't second guess
it. He has that strength about him. Like, he knows what's right, and he's committed to excellence.
Mm-hmm.
How much better can that be?
It's moral standing is what it is.
Oh, I like that word
it
better.
Is.
Ooh.
Where'd you get that?
Good one, Dinger Dog.
No, I want to know. At a bar, right?
Exactly.
That's where you got it.
I met Ann Morrill, and she was standing, and I went over and introduced myself.
Oh, yeah.
So what have you guys been doing? I haven't really seen you in a couple
weeks.
We
are the marketing gurus.
Yeah, we
are. Are you? Is that what you're called
now? We've been very busy. You know, we have our own marketing company, Visualize Your Business. And,
oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah, we've picked up clients, and we're very busy.
Wow, so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, and we even have new names, new license plates.
No way.
Yes, we've re-identified ourselves.
Isn't hers?
No, my license plate has been Window Lady for all these years because that's who I was. And I'm still doing construction with Arizona Window. Yeah, I have.
I didn't
thank
know that.
God for Canadian money because it's the Canadians that are down here investing in the properties. And So my jobs that I am doing are coming from Canadians.
Nice.
Investing down here, so that's a good thing.
But tell us about this license plate.
So I got rid of Window Lady because I'm trying to make the new steps into my new life. And some of those things are leaving.
They're whispering something. Did you see that, Kara? They're whispering. I don't know what.
Leanne has a new license plate.
Oh, you don't have one?
No.
Why? Why not, mister? Okay. All right. What's your
license
plate?
All right. So, who am I? What do you, that's what I was trying
Let's guess. Should we guess what her license plate is?
Yes.
Give us a hint. Oh, hair. Blondie.
Sounds like.
Blondie.
Blondie was taken.
Blonde lady. Blonde girl.
So, GDHRDAY.
Good hair day?
Yeah.
Very good.
There we go.
Wow, you won.
It's Wheel of Fortune.
Yes.
Good
I figured
day.
If anybody gives me any grief, I'll just tell them it stands for good home run day after my son.
Oh, yeah. How was Andy?
Good. Really, really good.
Good hair day.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, that's good. I
didn't
like
want
that.
Anything
what do you think,
too intense. That was just
mine is
surface.
Gray hair day.
Yeah. So if you did have one, Craig, what would it be? What would your
tell us, Diener Dog.
Is that what it would be?
I have a new nickname. I am not coming forthright with it yet because there's a bet on it.
Oh, there is? Wow. So good hair
so
day.
So we have new, anyway, we're moving forward in our new identities and marketing and getting out there, and that's been exciting.
So tell us about, what's the name of the company?
Visualize Your Business.
Visualize Your Business. And tell us a little bit about what that is and your profile.
It's really marketing and consulting. I was on the board of Moon Valley Country Club for 3 years, and I gave a lot of my time for free. And when my board term ended up in December, interestingly enough, the board approached me about coming on in a paid position to help with food and beverage at the golf course, and I jumped all over it, and I'm having the time of my life. It's really nice not being a restaurant owner and being able to do this because I don't feel the pressure, the stress and all, and I think I see things clear when it's not your own.
Well, and then the last time we had Denise on here with Lovitz.
Oh, yes.
And after the show, she hired me. She asked me to come on and be the marketing director. So marketing just seems to be the direction that we were all going to go, and thanks to Craig and his accident, I got a job.
His accident? Tell
really
us about
is
that
too.
Accident.
Well, the day after my daughter got married, her husband left his sport coat at Moon Valley Country Club. So I had Sunday morning, I drive to the country club, and I'm driving back. A woman runs a left turn signal and smashes right into me. So I call my insurance company, and they gave me three choices of a body shop, one of which was Lovett's.
Oh, that's right.
And yeah. I chose it because it was closest to my house.
And then Ellen solidified the job for me. She had an accident. So, you know, this has really worked out very well.
She was hit by a planter box. A planter box pulled out right in front of her.
So thank you, Ellen.
Wow. So accidents are miracles sometimes, right?
Exactly.
That should be the name of your company. Accidents are miracles.
Are a miracle, yeah.
So isn't it interesting how things get connected?
Yes.
I mean,
uh-huh.
Here you meet someone because of an accident, and then Ellen gets an
it
accident.
It was no accident.
It was, yeah. You've heard things like that. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I do.
Wow. And so tell us how it's going with Denise.
It's, you know, I couldn't... She's so easy to market for, because when you have a company that has such integrity, like Bill Montgomery, Denise has that same kind of integrity. It's a 50-year-old company, woman-owned business. Everybody that I talk to says, oh, we love Lovett's. Oh, we love Lovett's. She's just great. We loved our experience there. So that's easy to market for someone. That's much more difficult if it were a company that didn't do a good job, you know.
You know,
she's easy.
You just hit the nail right on the head. Every single company now that we're representing has the same theme. They're all very forthright, honorable, good mm-hmm. people. You know, we're helping the Phoenix Opera, and I have to give a little shout-out because Gail and John are working their tushies off.
Can you say that on the air?
Yes, you can say tushy.
You're allowed
yes,
to?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Kurt gives us the thumbs up.
Right.
Thank you.
Once
again, it's so funny you said tushies, and then you said you consult with Moon Valley. I don't know. I think it's funny.
I think we're going to rename the club Tushy Valley.
Oh, that was a good one, Dave.
So
that was very good.
They
well,
have a
so
they
much.
Have a couple fundraisers. One is Tuesday, April 5th. Hit me a high note. It's I think you can just go onto their website, phoenixopera.org. And find the location of these. And there's another one April 17th at the Queen Creek Olive Mill. And they're having their tenors, their sopranos. I mean, what they do is awesome, just awesome. And it's very enjoyable working. You know, John and Gail,
oh,
we had
yeah.
them on the show.
Phenomenal people.
Phenomenal,
oh,
yes.
Just incredible. And they were at your house, mm-hmm. And they had that
They're
amazing.
Coming again.
They're coming again Wednesday, May 4th. We're putting on another salon.
And it's going to be, you know, a Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Cuatro.
Yeah, Cinco de Cuatro. You're right, Cinco de Cuatro.
Really? So a similar thing like last time?
Yeah, we're going to have three tenors, three Hispanic.
Tres tenors.
Yeah, tres tenors. They're all from Hermosillo, Mexico. And the interesting thing, and we should probably mention it, Friday night, we went to the Cesar Chavez
so great.
Foundation Awards dinner, and America Ferrera was awarded the annual.
Go, keep going. I'm going to tell you
award.
How we got there.
And what was amazing, there were 800 Hispanics and Leanne and myself.
Yes.
And they were so warm and wonderful, and every single one of them went out of their way, and many of them had English for a second language. And to speak with
but
us.
But the whole event was in English, which fascinated me. I was astounded by that. And I was thinking to myself, you know, we were at an event the other night, and someone said something negative about the Hispanic community here and, you know, the struggles that we have with the immigration issues and the illegals and stuff like that. And I said, you know, my most recent experience at Cesar Chavez was here I'm the only gringa at this event. And they embraced me. They not only did they welcome me, but they went out of their way to introduce me to people, to bring people to me. And I thought, would we have done the same for one Hispanic in an event like that? Would we have been as accommodating, as warm, and I don't know.
Why is that, you think? Why would
I think
be
it's
a
cultural
difference?
To a certain extent.
I do too.
I think the Latin culture, the Hispanic culture, traditionally is I think they have better manners. I think it's a more polite society. We've lost a lot of that. We were even talking about that at Moon Valley, the familiarity mm-hmm. of some of the employees not calling some of the members by their Mr. and Mrs., but becoming too familiar. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that in the Hispanic community. I see a more structured and proper, and I like it.
And Michael Nowakowski was the MC that evening. You know, Michael was on our radio
show.
Yeah,
he's an awesome guy.
Yeah, he is an awesome guy, yes.
Do you think the Hispanic culture lends itself more to family orientation?
Yes. Oh, there's no doubt. I'll tell you, I had 35 employees at my restaurant, and probably 30 or 31 were Hispanic. And we would do a Christmas party every single year. Part of our Christmas party wasn't just for the employees, but was for their entire family. The behavior of the children was so amazing. They all came dressed to the hilt. They were so sincere in their love of their family. It was for me, it was inspirational. I couldn't wait for Christmas. I wanted Christmas 6 times a year. Just so
You know, and it's not, I'm not trying to do a downer on the American culture, because obviously we love all the things that we have been gifted and blessed with here, but to a certain extent, I think maybe we've gone too far in taking license with our freedoms and realizing that the freedoms should be, you know, that there comes a price for that.
Well, you know, part of that is, I think, and I may be wrong, but I really believe this, I think in cultures that don't have as much money, the family is more important, because we have kind of leaned on material things.
Well, that's why this economy, I think, has helped bring people back
yeah.
together, mm-hmm. families, because we're having to rely upon mm-hmm. each other again. And so if we're going to find a bright spot out of this economy, I think that's one of them.
I think we don't have a culture, though. We have kind of a blend of cultures, mm-hmm. which yeah. is where you see the fragmentation.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Well, that
who are we? You know, what's yeah. our identity? Whereas the Hispanic community has an identity. Who right. are the Americans? Who are we?
Yeah. We're a melting pot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be a good show.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting in this, talking about how one thing leads to another in marketing. On Andy's baseball team, one of the dads, when he heard that I was running for city council, he's like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't know that. And he's a policeman. And he said, I need to introduce you to someone. And so he had Manny with the Hispanic newspaper call me. I had a hard time just understanding Manny on the phone. And he wanted to come and interview me. And he's the owner of the newspaper. And he came and he interviewed me. And it was, are we done?
We're done, man. We got a hard break, so we got to go. But we'll be back right after this break with Craig Dean Leanne Hall. We have Kara Lee in the house. And I think you have a special guest coming in, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, we do.
Glenn Gorman.
Or maybe two.
Oh, maybe two. We'll be right back.
Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
Are you trying to do more with less? How are your personal finances going? Hi, I'm Scott Carter, inviting you to join us for The American Advisor, a frank discussion on a variety of issues including personal finance, political events, and precious metals. We'll help you try to make sense of it all. And for more information on the show, to listen to past broadcasts, or to check out an interview with one of our exclusive guests, go to TheAmericanAdvisor.com. And listen weekdays at 11 here on 1010 AM KXXT.
The Renaissance Arts Festival is back!
Huzzah!
Weekends now through April 3rd.
You love the Renaissance Festival.
Great shopping, a giant crafts market.
That festival is so awesome.
Welcome to the Renaissance Festival.
New shows, non-stop feasting. The Renaissance Festival is back. Weekends now through April 3rd. Special savings from discount coupons from Hall of Frames, Ariba's Mexican Grill, and Phoenix Flower Shops. While supplies last.
Are you earning 8% on your money? Hi, I'm Dan Cochimilio. I can guarantee 8% annual growth for future income. That's right, 8% guaranteed annual growth for future income that you can never outlive. It's your money, money that God has put you in charge of managing. Are you a good steward of your money? How do you know if you are? Do you know if your money is 100% safe from market losses? Is your estate planning as good as it could be? Are you trusting the answers to money questions to a person who doesn't share a Christ-centered worldview? I believe there are people out there who don't care about you as much as they care about getting your money. I don't operate that way. I offer free consultation and will help you with estate planning and show you how to double or even triple your money for retirement. My purpose is to help you secure your money. It's that simple. So call me, Dan Cochimilio, at 623-825-3900. That number again is 623-825-3900. That's 623-825-3900.
This is 1010 KXXT.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the entrepreneurial spirit. Remember, guys, when I couldn't say entrepreneurial?
Yeah, you've become really accomplished at that.
Yeah, people call me just to hire me to say entrepreneurial. Is it weird or what?
I didn't get the memo about the blue shirt, you guys.
Yeah, I got a blue shirt. Glenn has a blue shirt. And
I think that's not blue.
A blue shirt. Is that blue?
I don't know. It looks. Is it black?
It's black.
Yeah, it's black.
But it could be blue.
Could be
today.
Navy.
Yeah,
anyway, we have Leanne Hall, Craig Dean, and we have Carolee, and special in studio guest Glenn Gormley.
Ruby Gormley.
Glenn,
yeah.
How are
Hello.
You?
Hello. Wonderful today. Wonderful.
Yeah, you look happy.
I'm always happy.
You're always happy, but you look exceptionally happy today.
Yes.
What's going on?
It's you, Dave. It's really you.
Ah, thank you very much. I'm here till Thursday. But what
did
is
you just
really
take your
on?
Medicine?
And he's talking to Glenn, not me, of course. Yeah, did you take your medicine?
That was the law that was passed a while ago. Let's not get into that.
Yeah, we did have Bill Montgomery on. He's out of the building. He's coming back.
No, I'm
here
to get Craig and Glenn.
Well, watch out for Craig and Glenn. No, I'm excited because, again, you know, I'm an entrepreneur and I've been in business for myself for over 35 years. And I'm just excited that I have a new company that is actually helping organizations develop new habits and create change. And it's working. And it's been quite the journey, but we're seeing great success, and it's very encouraging.
So yeah. Tell us, what is that? You said develop new habits.
Which you have to do first.
Yeah, absolutely.
What you have to do first is you've got to admit to yourself that I've been doing this a certain way because it's just what I've been doing. And then you've got to be open to taking a look at something different. And what we're talking, you know, with our company, and it's Infinite Green Services, and our Infinite Green Services company relies on an all-natural line of products that are, you know, formulated by Infinite Green. And we come into organizations and we start to show you and ask very pointed questions about why are you cleaning with a poison, or why are you just relocating fats, oils, and greases out of your restaurant? And would you like to take the time to find an easier way to get the job done? And when you say easier, we all know what the easy button means, and people are interested. And then the other thing that is just key to success is just getting those involved. Over the weekend, I worked at the Mattisol Casino. I worked up there Friday night. And it was just great at the end of the shift to get the thumbs up from the employees. That was great.
And the $3,000 you won.
Keep that. It was nice that you gave me your Social Security card for the weekend. But anyway, no, it's very rewarding because I think that when you're an entrepreneur, there's a couple things you have to prepare yourself for. And the first is being disappointed. The second being that it's not going to happen as quickly as you may think it should.
And all those things happen in an hour, usually, several times a day.
Yeah. And so, you know, you've got to regroup. You've got to make adjustments to the course. And it's great to see when you do make a difference. And I made a difference Friday night up in Payson with a group that is in charge of all the carpets and all the floor care for the casino. And when we got done with that shift, they absolutely gave me the thumbs up and thanked me for taking 4 hours out of my schedule, which was from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., and I couldn't get Craig to come on up for the journey because he had something to do with his pillow, he said. And anyway, so...
We're so weird.
I usually have a 9 o'clock appointment with my pillow.
That's what he told me. So it'll be interesting when we see him out at 9 p.m. this Wednesday when we take on another customer and provide a service for that organization. But long story short, it's very rewarding to have a new business. And I say new, you know, we just celebrated our second year anniversary. And there's been the ups and the downs of being the business owner, of wearing all the different hats. But the joy is when you absolutely can make a difference in another organization and with their employees.
You know what's funny is I didn't know that the chemicals were causing me problems until I got your chemicals or your product.
Right.
And not even say chemicals. And just last night, I had to clean. My daughter just moved back into the house, and I had to clean up one of the rooms. It had a lot of dust, and it was just not in great shape. And I would, in the past, I would have pulled out the
Fantastic.
We weren't going to
No, I was saying it was fantastic that you were cleaning.
Yes. But anyway, the other product, the chemicals, and I would have been sick.
Yeah.
And because especially in a closet or somewhere where that's a closed environment, and it was so refreshing to pull out my Infinite Green products and clean with them, and they do a marvelous job, and I wasn't sick.
Yeah, and that's important because just look around and you know, and start to ask, you know, questions of those that are struggling with their health.
Yeah.
And we're dealing with, you know, skin irritation, allergies, food sensitivities, eczema. I mean, a lot of different things where our bodies are acting out. I mean, I travel a lot, and I notice that all of our hospitals are under construction, especially our children's hospitals. We know that birth rates are down. We know that, you know, Western medicine, which is not to me the wellness part of business, or it's a big business. And we know that chemicals are all around us. Now, unfortunately, chemicals are always going to be in our lives. This is not an easy fix. We just don't wave a magic wand and say, well, it's over. No, it's not. The tobacco industry took a while, you know, to before they started to realize what was going on.
Just like oil, and how hard it is for people to transform from oil to any other kinds of energy sources.
But
it's difficult.
I think really when you start to get deeper into the journey and you start to ask those that become involved with a much better, safer, more effective product, and then they come to this conclusion like Randy did on Friday night when I was working with him. We were sitting on the bench there talking, and he goes, you know, Glenn, this is actually better for the environment, isn't it? I mean, it's better for the environment. I'm like, Randy, now we're making some progress. Listen, I'm in the business of making money. There's no doubt about it. That's why I own businesses. But actually, what we're trying to do is to educate and develop these new habits, which will create change, and it will help people to restore their health in not only their body, but to the facility that maybe it's where they go to school, maybe it's the business that they currently own, maybe it's a restaurant that serves thousands of people every day. I know that Craig and myself have talked quite often, you know, with his past life of, you know, making straws and, you know, preparing wonderful food.
Brisket. Those that don't know.
Yeah, for those who don't know about Mr. Dean, he pointed out to me if he would have had this product line 5, 6, 7 years ago, it certainly would have been a game changer in the way that he operated.
Well, he wouldn't have ruined as many shoes as he used to. That's,
well, it's all about,
you know,
the, it's
a lot of truth
shoes.
To that.
I know.
There's a lot of truth to that because in the kitchens of restaurants, there's a lot of grease gunk, and then you clean it all up with these degreasers, which are very caustic.
Very caustic.
No, that's the whole point of entrepreneurship, though, is being willing to change and to move in new directions. And that's the hardest thing, I think, for most people.
Especially those in the beginning who are the first ones out to encourage those changes. Those are the ones that have the most difficulty.
Well, I think that's a great point. I think really what happened with my journey with Infinite Green, and now that I've had a chance to reflect, I came into this business thinking that it would just be cut and dry, that you would just get it. And then I came to the conclusion that I had a couple things working against me. The first being that Greens had a couple of runs at introducing products to the marketplace. And the customers realized that if I was going to go green, I was probably going to spend more money. The products might not work as well as we expect them, but yet I'm supposed to be okay with that. Well, in good times, that might be an easy sell. But in tough times, it is not something you can sell. So I changed the approach of Infinite Green to that instead of talking green, I talk about cost savings. And this is how I figured out how organizations are struggling today. They look at cost saving measures the way that their past manager looked at it, the past owner looked at it, maybe the way that, you know, they grew up in a family business. This is how dad or mom ran the business. Well, we know today that just doesn't work in America. Business is so different just in the last 5 years. So we come in and really start to look at what can we do? What can we suggest? What direction can we point you for little baby steps first in creating some of these cost-saving measures that you have not been aware of or you've never considered? And this is where we're starting to get some great results and some interest.
Yeah. Go ahead, Craig.
Okay.
And then I'll say
that's the challenge. You, as the entrepreneur and the owner of the business, know that your products work. You know that. It's the transition from you knowing it to getting to the customer to believe that it's actually going to happen. Because I've noticed you hear more yes buts and more excuses because people would rather keep in their old habits than change, even if the old habits aren't working very well.
You know what I think, and this is what I was going to talk about, that I think makes that easier is that building the network. Don't you find that as an entrepreneur that it can tend to be a little bit lonely? Okay. I was looking at Kara.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been an entrepreneur for more than 20 years. And yes, it can, because there's no leaving it behind at 5 o'clock. You carry it with you. You have long hours. You worry about things.
Yeah, and who do you go? It's not like you have your group at the office. You're very much alone. So one of the things that, and this I think helps in making sales, is all of this networking that we're all doing is really building our family, our extended family. And while one person might have a difficulty getting into a particular company, someone else might be able to facilitate that. And by building this family of entrepreneurs, because we need that, I need that. I felt that was in 27 years of being in business, that was probably the biggest downside of being an entrepreneur is feeling alone.
You don't have anybody to edify you.
No,
and that's what we were talking about. Yeah,
this is an amazing thing. We can edify Glenn. Glenn goes out and edifies us, Kara, Dave, and we all help each other's businesses in the process.
By doing that, yes.
Well, there's no doubt. And, you know, to have a pipeline is very important in business, but it's really a selective pipeline. You have to really know who you want to do business with, who you want in the pipeline. And most people, like Len, you were saying, actually we're all saying, is they stick in their own habits. I call it the comfort zone from a neuro-linguistic programming standpoint. And people, and Craig, you said it, people would rather stay in their comfort zone, spend more money just to keep them in their comfort zone. What they're spending money on is try to get a relief of fear.
Right. I think one of the most painful things for a human being to do is change.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's also one of the most rewarding and freeing things. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion about how do you change habits. And I think Glenn has all the answers on this. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit, starring Leanne Hall, Craig Dean. Special in-studio guest is Glenn Gormley. And we have Kara Lee in the studio, too. So we will be right back.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit starring Leanne Hall. Craig Dean in studio. We have Kara Lee from Security and Your Well-Being. And in-studio guest Glenn Gormley. What's he doing? He's wiping his sunglasses. It's not sunny in here. What's going on?
Look at all our
personalities. Don't you have an Infinite Green product to do that other than your shirt?
Or is your shirt so bright he has to wear shades?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there we go.
By the way, we do have a product called Total Surface Care, safe on all materials and wall surfaces, desks, glasses.
Yeah, you should speak into the mic. Okay.
Just messing with you, Dave. Just messing.
Okay. I have to say something about his products, though.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Because Glenn has spoken often to us about his products. And I have had major firsthand experience. Glenn, being the gentleman that he is, has been on his hands and knees with me for a few hours at Moon Valley cleaning one of the restaurants in the club using his green product, Grease Buster. I was blown away, totally blown away by how good this product is. And I had a really good pair of shoes on that day, and I didn't realize that I was going to be cleaning. And I was slopping this stuff all over with a mop. It's going all over my shoes. My shoes look better than ever. I think I'm going to start taking this product to all the Italian stores in town for cleaning shoes.
So it wasn't harmful to shoes, huh?
Nothing whatsoever.
No, and you know what's so great about the product? It's a neutral pH. It's a natural product. We basically like to refer to it as little bugs in a jug. And these are microbes that basically have been designed to eat fats, oils, and greases and convert them into carbon dioxide and water. And the interesting thing—
Are they good for diet pills, too?
Well, you know, I would say something, but we're on the radio right now. But, you know, if you had an egg roll lodged up in there, I bet you I could get rid of it. But anyway, and I don't think we had to beep that one out by any means. But
speaking of tushies.
But Craig's point is well taken in that we take for granted or we just walk by grease and grime every day and we think we're cleaning just because we swish the mop around in the kitchen.
Or we get an order from the product that we're using.
Correct. And so what we're putting together today is showing the customer that if you get rid of the fats, oils, and greases at the source and you do not relocate it into the floor drains and out of the facility into the grease trap or the interceptor and hire the company to come pump the grease later, you actually will start to lower your costs. But because you've done business or the industry has done business this way for 50 to 75 years, it must be standard operating procedure. And we must make those changes. The other thing I think is, you know, an important issue is that safety has to be brought to the forefront, that we have a lot of situations, whether they're workman compensation related or injuries at home or just, you know, some chance encounter that somebody found something in the garage and spilled it on their skin or got it in their eye. And then all of a sudden it's that domino effect. Mm-hmm. You know, what happened? What did they get into? You know, we've got some eyesight that might be, you know, at risk. But when we get back into the kitchen, it's really interesting to see, like Craig and myself did last week, the results of the product. Mm-hmm. And my question to my customers is this: if the current product that you're using was working, then what's so different about mine? If it was getting the job done, then why do we have this gigantic, you know, performance difference here? And a lot of times we're just like, well, that's just what we've been cleaning with. And I like that because you're getting somebody to start thinking a little bit out of the box. Now, Craig, when we continue this journey this week, we're going to take a step up with Grease Buster. We're going to bring a little piece of machinery along to expedite the journey. And we were just using a mop and a little mm-hmm. scrubby pad the other
right.
day.
Yeah.
So now we're going to step it up a little bit. But again, we're going to be bringing in some other people to get involved.
Can we make my dishwasher work better? What can I put in for home use rather than commercial use? What will make my dishwasher work better?
What do you want it to do?
I want my glasses to look clean.
One, and get rid of the spots. So yeah.
Are you saying I have spots on my glasses?
Well, what happens if you have, if you have any hard water whatsoever, you're going to have spots all over your glasses. This is, as a restaurateur, this is one of the major problems, that you would wash your glasses.
I did get rid of my soft. I disconnected my
yeah,
soft water.
Yeah, so you're going to have hard water.
Leanne, that's a great point, and I want to bring this up because Craig and myself really had quite the education last week when we were getting a crash course on a dish machine. You know, we take it for granted that we're eating out, and you know, we've got a plate and our food is prepared and they bring it to us and we ooh and ah. We have no idea where the plate has been, who washed the plate, what the condition of the machinery, what products were being used. And so Craig and myself really, you know, got firsthand knowledge on the little hiccups with a dish machine that really affect the results. And just by making a couple of adjustments to the machine, we saw the results.
Maybe my water's not hot enough.
That's right. And that was something I was going to bring up. We found that this particular machine, where we were getting our crash course on the do's and the don'ts with the machine, the water temperature was too low. And that was affecting the end result. So when you start to look at a restaurant, and you know, we're putting a lot of focus on the hospitality industry right now because it's an area where there's a tremendous amount of struggle. We've had those say that the hospitality industry is not only in a recession, there are some restaurants that are in a depression. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I'm a real guy that wants to go in and offer assistance and help those find ways of saving monies and getting back on track. But the time is well spent when we can get an owner of a restaurant to start taking a look at a few things, whether it's the dish machine or the products that are being used in the floor or on the floor, or the fact that if we can help consolidate products, at the end of the day, if we can drop money to the bottom line, we give this owner a breath of fresh air. This is something that they need in a very tough market.
Well, you know, in the restaurant business, the food industry, there are so many things that happen behind the scenes that separate the difference between an average restaurant and a great restaurant. And a perfect example is the dish machine. If the water temperature is 10 degrees too low, you don't get what's called sheeting on the glasses, where the water just runs off of it immediately. And then when it dries, it leaves all those spots. Then, if you're any type of a high-quality restaurant, you're hiring someone literally all day long to wipe those glasses off so that when they come to you as a customer, they are spotless. So all these little things that take place behind the scenes that when you go sit in a restaurant, you have no idea what's going on.
And here's what I get from all of this is that we have new marketing techniques. We've had to become more creative these days. There was a time in my business when things were great and it was kind of sad, but there was a joke. It wasn't a joke, but I remember myself saying, my gosh, there's another order come across the fax. I don't even know who these people are. You know, orders were just flowing through. And we didn't have to worry about marketing. Now we are having to do hands-on marketing. We're having to build relationships. We're having to do the things, get creative, get out of our comfort zone, get out of whatever we were used to doing in the past, mm-hmm. and do something different. And it's requiring being out on site and doing what you guys are doing.
Well, and that's what's wonderful about Glenn's product is, you know, you're looking to improve the health of the entire restaurant. And as a customer, I would want to know what kind of products is the restaurant using. You go to restaurants all the time and you see busboys or servers spraying the table, you know, after a customer leaves. What the heck are they spraying?
Yeah,
with?
But as a customer, you're never going to know in a sense. And so how do you create value for the customer when it's something they don't even know? And right now, as a business owner, we know that the bottom line really is all anybody cares about right now, because the bottom line is so skinny. It's so far down that I got to tell you, from a business owner's perspective, bottom line is still first. And then, you know, if you can somehow, how are you going to let your customers know that this is what we're doing and this is a value, so that maybe they bring more people there? Maybe they market for you. Like what Dave's talking about is, you know, the cross marketing, the reverse marketing, driving people to your business by not marketing, in a sense. I mean, it is marketing, but it's different.
Well, there is a very strong green movement going on, and what I'm hearing more of also is that there are a lot of people developing chemical sensitivities and developing allergies, and those things are starting to move up, you know, higher on their radar.
Awareness. That's what I'm talking about. How do we let our customers know that there's value there for them that's going behind the scenes I think that's important because people are becoming more concerned with that.
You're exactly correct, Leanne. And we have done something, and it's something as simple as putting a little sticker on the door
that says
this establishment is being cleaned all naturally.
On the menu.
Well,
anywhere you want to put it.
I got to tell you what's going to happen is I have a customer where we put two stickers on the doors. Well, somebody took the stickers off.
Oh.
And the owner came back to me and he says, "Hey, Glenn, do you have some more of the stickers?" And I said, "Well, sure, I get you as many stickers." He goes, "I'm trying to figure out where the stickers went to." I said, "Well, that's okay. As long as they went somewhere, you know, we'll give them more. But let's not, you know, forget that with the internet and the fact that we have so much information available that we really have an opportunity to educate ourselves. I go back to Leanne, and it's a point well taken about the fax machine. You know, my past life, I was in the trash business for 30 years. And I mean, we had a lot of work. We were a specialty company, and that phone used to ring. And we had a little joke in my office, and it was, "Oops, we have another victim on the phone." And it was, you know, it was to say in a jokingly way, but we had so much work.
It was
we
incredible.
Picked the cream of the crop. And today, you do not have that opportunity. That's why I go back to my comment earlier that when you think green is one thing, but I did have a potential customer tell me, "Glenn, you're a great guy, love the curly hair, but if you're going to bankrupt me taking me green, I'm throwing you out. Now, if you can save me money, I love you."
Yeah.
So if I happen to get the green as an added bonus, let's do some business. So this is where we've shifted. But again, I think everybody wants to see results, and results are the bottom line.
Exactly. I just
the
heard
bottom
Del,
line.
Del Webb was just advertising on my way over here. I was listening to them talk about their new green build houses. And it said, "But rest assured, they aren't going to cost you any more than our original price. You're going to get all these additional values from us for the same price." Because people, that's what they're concerned about right now. What's the
bottom?
Doesn't,
it doesn't
the
matter
cost?
If it's green or not. If it's not produced,
they
the
want
quality.
It.
Yeah, they
People
want it, but
want
they want
green.
They want the result to be better than what they've used
we
before.
We want to be healthy. We want to be. We want to be good to our environment.
And when we come back from our break, we're going to continue our discussion. And I actually will have a question for everyone here on the panel. What is the bottom line? What are the components of the bottom line? I have some thoughts on that. And when we come back, we will talk about it. Glenn Gormley, Kara Lee, Leanne Hall, Craig Dean, and our friend Kurt, who's our producer. We'll be right back.
Are you able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? I'm Kara Lee with GPS Heroes, and with our plug-and-play GPS device, you can set geofences, get speeding alerts, and a full report card each week with driver reports and mileage, all to your computer or handheld device. It's easy to get and easy to use, in real time, with no service contracts. Just go to gpsheroes.org/21 and order yours today. That's gpsheroes.org/21.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit starring Leanne Hull, Craig Dean. Hey, he's dancing. Look at that. It's like you play the drums
caffeine.
Or what?
It's a caffeine day.
It's caffeine. I prefer to call
it's
it
caffeine
medicine.
Monday.
You called it medicine. Carolee's in the house. Glenn Gormley. And the question was, what is the bottom line? Let me throw out a few comments about that. Combining CPA, business consulting, and neuro-linguistic programming, that was a mouthful, wasn't it? Okay. of course, a lot of people think of cost, and I'll think of cost structure. Also, processes. It's called Lean Six Sigma or Total Quality Management. Very important in terms of the cost structure and also the efficiency. And also, really the mindset, I think, is very important. Of course, I didn't mention sales yet, but the mindset will lead to the corporate culture, which will lead to the resistance. Glenn Glorman, you were talking about resistance all there. Well, I caught him on
thank
the fly.
You.
You are welcome.
Resistance, that's a great point.
Cat just ran across.
Meow.
Okay, let's go right to Craig Dean in Buffalo, New York, doing the weather.
There's no ADD at this table.
Thank you, Dave, for taking us around the world.
Okay.
When we talk about resistance, we know for a fact
that
when we get inside an organization, we're going to initiate change. The first thing that will happen is somebody's going to push back and say, we cannot do that. And so we've got to get in through the organization and find out why they believe this won't work, why it's not going to impact the bottom line. I have to find out what they've put in place currently that is addressing, you know, cost saving measures. And then we start to get to just some simple changes to get them to look at products differently, costing differently. And here's an example. This bucket, the price is $90. My current bucket is $60. Yours must be more because it's $30 more in price. So then we have to throw the curveball in and say, what does that mix out in a ready-to-use gallon? I don't know. Great. Now the door is swung open, and we start the next phase of education, getting it down to a cost per RTU gallon or a price per ounce. And then this is where we start to get those that look at, you know, costing a certain way to be a little bit more open to some of that change. So, you know, there's change in the organization from the procurement officer all the way down to the operations manager, to the guy on the front line, and then you're able to start making some progress. So you work from the CEO down, from the worker up, and it all addresses how we can start saving and costing products out to where we can start looking at the bottom line.
I think that we've had to re-identify what cost is and what bottom line is.
Agreed.
And that my whole idea of what bottom line is has now had to be redefined based upon what I want the end result to look like. My end result looks different now than it looked 5 years ago. My value system has changed from 5 years ago. Consequently, my bottom line and what I deem acceptable as cost has totally changed. And I think until people do that, and a lot of people have had to because of the economic climate.
Well, that's true. One thing that I found, and I look at, you know, how we start a cost saving program. And this is, you know, really, I mean, this is what we're really putting together in when we've bundled services. We know, for example, that, you know, your cable company, your phone company, and everybody's got together and they like to bundle. So the reason they've done that is they're bringing added value. We also know
perceived added value
until you take the time to take a
exactly.
look at it.
Yes.
And then you realize that if you don't break down the value menu and you only understand that you're saving 15 cents by grabbing it all, or you could have got it off the other side of the menu. But my point is this. When you get in and you start to look at, I've been giving, here comes my marching orders. We got to cut costs. Well, one of the first things we go after, the people that I'm working with, we cut our hourly people's hours. The workers' hours, they're cut. So you had a 40-hour work week, now you get 32. We have the salary people pick up the slack. Now we've disturbed morale. Well, they're on the front line. They interface with the customers. Then we believe that, well, we really can't afford the cleaning company, so let's go beat up on them for a little while and get them to the point where then we recognize that, well, we can do this ourselves. Well, then the guy that was making the wonderful green chili early in the morning, You've got him cleaning an extra couple of hours at night, and he comes in the morning and he goes, gosh, you know that green chili really needs a little bit of extra time, but it's probably good enough. And then we go have lunch there, and the first thing we all come to the conclusion is the green chili doesn't taste like it used to, and we're disappointed. And then the domino effect starts. And all of a sudden, you thought you were saving money, and you just cost the organization money. And these are the things that I bring up, and I ask my customers, what have you done to save money? And I let them tell me. And I just sit back, and I become a good listener, and it helps me to evaluate and then come up with a game plan to help create some necessary change. And the other thing that I warn all of my customers, if you've been in business for any length of time, you certainly know that to make money, you spend money. But we also realize that if you want to save money, you're going to spend it again. You've got to load this thing up on the front side to get things moving in a better direction. And, you know, we'll use our little adventure this week that Craig and myself are going to get involved in. We know for a fact that we'll throw some extra product to clean a floor that is basically a mess. But we're going to bring that back to near new, or not maybe not as brand new, but it will be very noticeable. And then it'll be so much easier to maintain. And guess what? It'll take less money to maintain it. So they'll save money after we get through that initial startup.
Did we answer your question?
Well, that was part of it. Yes, that was a very nice part of it by Glenn Gormley. Carrie, you got something?
No.
Oh,
no, I'm just listening.
He just threw the mic over to you.
You know, there's the whole psychology of all this, too. You know, when you go to someone to introduce a new product and try to convince them that there's a new and different way, the first reaction for a human being is to say, so you're telling me I've done everything wrong. And so they become very defensive, and that's when you hear all the yes, buts, yes, buts. So there's a psychology of allowing someone to feel that this idea is being incorporated because of their ability to do it. Instead of you laying it on them, you have to allow them to think that maybe it's their idea. So there's a whole reverse to it.
Dave, I want to hear your answer.
All right, my answer is simply this. Okay, the bottom line really, it's dependent on, and similar to yours, Leanne, it really depends on what your core mission and vision is. You have to be consistent all the way along the line. So, for example, what I tell my clients is always keep your standards of excellence moving upward. And it's called fixed goals and variable means. So I'm going to give a broad concept here. And part of what Glenn said is certainly the answer, because cost structure is very critical. And I go in a different direction sometimes, where value is. I'm always looking for the value, because can you spend more money even and actually be better off? The answer is clearly yes, because if you can create value, mm-hmm. The bottom line is the net between sales and cost. And so the bottom line, if you look at the equation, is sales less cost is the bottom line. But then you look at it a little further. How about appreciation of the company? That's not going to show up in the bottom line. Right. So there, it's even a broader picture. So the real question is can you maintain fixed goals with variable means? Now, what that means is a variable mean is behavioral flexibility. Glenn, you were talking about that. Behavioral flexibility is simply develop new habits. Develop more ways to find and accomplish your fixed goal. Too many people will lower their goals to meet their resources. I say you keep your fixed goals high and you develop more resources. It's a whole different approach. And it involves a heavy dose of neuro-linguistic programming, meaning how do you perform above your comfort zone? So if you really want to look at it from more of a global picture, learn how to perform above your comfort zone. Everything will then self-organize and create the bottom line that you want.
Most entrepreneurs actually don't spend the kind of time necessary to do those things because they're so concerned with the bottom line.
Exactly, a cost perspective.
And especially in times where you have an economic crisis, it creates this negative, all of this stuff going in you, and you lose your creative flow, you lose your ability, and it's almost a self-defeating cycle. It's really bad. I mean, I've definitely experienced it myself. Small businesses are really prone to this because they're so busy scrambling that they can't even think about anything else that they get stuck.
And then, you know, it's interesting because if you take a look at the products that the American companies are producing for us now, whether it's a bottle of ketchup or a bottle of beer, start taking a look at a bottle of beer maybe has gone from 12 ounces to 11.2 ounces. A candy bar has shrunk from
ice cream.
All of them. The package is the same size, but on, let's say, on the bottom of a ice cream container, it will be V-shaped on the bottom so that it holds less product, but you still think you're getting the same amount. This is what's happening in the country. You're getting less from the company that's producing it, but they're trying to make you think you're still getting the same amount.
Or the same value.
So instead of becoming better at what they do, they're taking advantage of an easier way to get to the end result.
Well, I think also what Dave is bringing up is that you must stick with the value side of what you're delivering. I was with somebody this morning who was just all bent out of shape on how their business is being affected by fuel prices. And I said, what are you going to do about it? Well, I don't know, but you know, if it gets to be $4 a gallon, what am I going to do? I said, you're going to buy gas because you need to deliver your products. Is that in your circle of influence? Well, no. Can you change the price of gasoline? No. Can you change something in your company to make a difference? The answer should be yes. Okay, so going back to what Leanne said, so often as an entrepreneur, we try to, and we're the worst at this, we try to micromanage all these little things, and it's the big thing that gets away from us, and that's the customer and how they perceive value. And, you know, I always looked at, when I was in the trash business, I received an awful lot of work from other companies who came in and took away from the value of their service by telling a customer it was going to take 2 to 3 days to get the job done. Well, the minute I heard that, Glenn came in with, we'll get it done tomorrow morning for you. Really? Yeah, but our price is 30% more than the other guy. Yeah, but you're telling me I can get that done tomorrow? Yeah, because your time's got to be worth something. I created value. I got the work. I got the work over and over. And this is what we have to show. You know, so often we've got to the point where we've become a bunch of order takers. We just show up to take an order. And we don't tell the customer all the great things that we have in store for them and how we can be of value, how we can increase value between them and their customers. And the other thing I think we fail to recognize is, what do we have as a group to retain and keep our customer base? Everybody wants to take a nickel off of this and a nickel off of that, and before you know it, it's for free. Well, I don't like the F word, and I don't like the D word, and the F being free and the D being discount. I like the V word, that's value. And I want to drive that point home. So that's a little bit of why we've consolidated services. That's why Craig, Leanne, and myself are working together, and we've picked the hospitality industry to really showcase a means of cost-saving measures that are very much out of your comfort zone. We're taking you out of that box that you think that you need to be in, and we're pointing a few things out to you and baby steps, and now all of a sudden we plunk a little bit of dollars and cents to the bottom line, and they come back to Craig and Leanne and they go, well, what else you two have? What else is in that magic box that you've got of value? And that's what we're all about.
And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion. I'll throw out another topic, order takers to value creators. Glenn, you said it perfectly. And if you want to attract the cream of the crop, you got to become the cream of the crop, and we'll be right back.
Reidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions. Real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit, starring Leanne Hall, Craig Dean, in studio Kara Lee, and Glenn Gormley. You're doing these sign language things. You didn't think I noticed as I was bringing everyone back into the show. Okay. Now, here's a question I want to ask everyone. And everyone can go around. We'll start with Craig this time, not Glenn.
Alphabetical order.
Okay, here we go. Yes, it is indeed.
Well, now that it would have been Kara.
No, last names.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
So here we go. So what can you do that's greater than your product or service? Because I think people get too stuck in their product or service, and they peddle their product or service. But the delivery is you. So what can you do that's greater than your product or service? And how do you integrate that in with your business?
I pass.
Okay, let's go in.
I'll take that one.
Okay, Glenn wants to go that one, so swing the mic back over to Glenn Gormley, ladies and gentlemen.
That one for me is a very easy one. You make yourself available.
There you
and
go.
By making yourself available, you show
1-800 Glenn Gormley.
Yes, you make yourself available.
I hear
that
you,
way.
Glenn. I heard you made yourself available in Sun City today.
Yes, I have a new service, and it's called Let Me Help You Balance Your Checkbook Over Tea. But anyway, but on the serious side, making yourself available to your customer to show that you're just not there for the sale. You're there for the long term, and you're there to help them get the results that are desired. Because without results, you're out anyway. So you've got to make yourself available, and that's what I do.
I love it. Okay, who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
I do.
I'll go next. I do.
Me. No. You're out of luck.
I'm going to – wait, who's alphabetical? All right, let's go around the room clockwise. Okay, Carolyn.
Okay, like Glenn said, you know, make yourself available. And I've always made a habit of doing that, staying in touch with my client, making sure that they're happy with what I've done for them, ask them if they have any other issues I can help them with, partnering up with other businesses to offer services to that client. That's something that was reinforced at a business seminar I went to last week, where they emphasized the importance of having partners in related businesses that can offer services. Mm-hmm. And you can become a wealth of information and a resource for those clients.
You know, before, Kara, you get off the mic, is that, do you realize you're one letter away from Sara Lee? Okay. All right, let's go to
hopefully
Leanne.
No one doesn't like Kara Lee.
Yeah. Nice one. All right, let's go to Leanne Hull.
I think that you have to bring something that's more than just that, and I try to bring myself and something that's fun. So people want to be, especially right now, even more so than any other time, I think they want someone to come to them and brighten their world.
Absolutely.
Let's have fun. Craig and I were at Moon Valley the other day, and we were walking through the
club.
Is it? Yeah, the dining. It wasn't the dining room. What is that area?
The grill.
The grill. We were walking through the grill, and you know, we were laughing and we were having fun, and they were like, "Are you guys working? Get back to work." You know, but they were envious because people want to have fun right now too. Bring something that takes away the edge that people are feeling right now.
Absolutely.
But I think that's true at all times, even when business is great.
You just wanted to one-up me.
I always, my philosophy in my restaurant was always I wanted someone, when they walked into the restaurant, to feel better when they left than when they came in. And that encompasses a whole lot of things. Part of it was just me being accessible. You know, I think a lot of owners are afraid to be accessible to the public because they're afraid they're going to hear a complaint. And you're going to hear some complaints. You know, this is not a perfect world. But you know what? If you're willing to hear some complaints, you're also going to hear some really nice things, too. So if you have the ability to listen to a complaint and take it as constructive criticism, kind of going back to the same thing, well, we're going to try something different. People hear that as being, what do you mean? I'm not doing it the right way now? So you have to fight your own psychological battle in order to be out and help people to feel better.
So what you're all saying is ability to change people's state of mind.
Yes.
Which is a very important thing. How about to inspire, to motivate? I mean, see, you can deliver your product, but if you can deliver something higher, maybe change their awareness level.
And do you know what the biggest tool we all have as human beings to do that? To smile.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in a restaurant and the waiter or the waitress comes up and smiles to you, you feel better already.
That's what children do, and we beat it out of them. We tell them, don't, you know, they come out and as little kids, they're smiling and at everybody. And then we tell them, don't talk to strangers. Don't look around. Don't make eye contact. You know, and we have to learn to make eye contact again and connect as human beings and smile.
And so often when we have dealings with someone who's having a positively miserable day and it reflects in their attitude toward us, we tend to take it personally. And what really we need to do is look at that person and just take a moment and say, are you okay? You know, check on how they're doing. Show some concern for them that can make all the difference in the world to
and
that person.
And not be afraid if they aren't. You know, I really am refreshed by someone who will accept it. When I'm not having a good day, for me to have the security to be able to say, you know what, I'm not having a good day right now, and someone to actually care enough to not just go, oh, I'm sorry and I got to go.
Right.
You know, listen, like you're saying. Stay there and listen and engage with that person.
You know, there's so many little things you can do. And one thing I try to do, I try to leave really crazy voicemails on my phone so that at least people, if they're going to call me and I don't answer my phone, maybe they can smile a little bit. I mean, just the little things like that.
Did you change yours today?
Yes, I did.
Okay, that's good.
Oh, well, I'll be calling Craig Dean.
Yeah, what are some of your favorites that you've had, Craig?
Groovy, baby.
I had one that I was overruled on. I sang my message.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Just sing it now. Let me
know.
Hear.
It was. Go ahead.
Oh, it's not good?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Craig, sing.
I love Phoenix in the springtime. I love. See?
Well, stand by as we go to a commercial break.
Anyway. Okay, don't get rid of your day job. Okay.
Trust me, I'm not.
You know, Craig, you know, you owned Miracle Deli, Mile Deli.
No, yes, get the name right, otherwise 20, you're no longer our co-host.
Exactly, 26 years. Now,
yeah.
In Century City, I had a CPA firm. That's in California near Beverly Hills and or wherever. Yeah, near Beverly Hills. Now, there was this restaurant called Harry's Bar and Grill, a very, very fancy restaurant. Uh-huh. And I, you know, sometimes I went, sometimes not. But this maitre d' knew everyone's name. Hmm. I would go one time, and the next time he would know it. He wouldn't even hesitate. How do people do that? Do you train people to do that at your restaurant, or have you seen that in restaurants? They just know people's name. Because I'll tell you, that's a magic touch.
Interesting thing. I'm not good with words, but I'm very good with numbers. So when you came in, I would say, hello, 602-445-9.
Is that a check that they spend? Oh, hello, sure. You spend $19.95, don't you? Back in the back.
But I think that's really great. I mean, that, to me, that is a tremendous talent to have.
You probably said that, there's the brisket coming in.
Well, yeah. You know, it's funny you say that, because we used to have a sandwich maker. His name was Tony Mejia. It was showtime. As soon as lunch hour started, he put that chef hat on and it was showtime. And he knew every one of his customers. And, you know, and we had the line that would go back and forth. And he would look back. If he saw someone that was in the line, by the time they came to the line and moved very quickly, he already had their sandwich made because he knew what they liked.
You know, that happens at Wildflower. When I walk in there, they know what to make me.
Well, you are there quite a bit, Dave.
I am all the time. But is that impressive?
We decided to name, we said there's a booth named after you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Called Wilkes Booth.
It is it is important. I go to my favorite hole-in-the-wall breakfast place called the Eye Opener. As soon as I sit down and the waitress comes over, she comes over with a glass of tomato juice for me because she knows I love tomato juice.
Wow.
Yes, I think it makes me feel great.
It does.
And guess what I do? I always leave
drink
her.
Drink it. You drink it whether you like it or not.
I can't stand it. No, I leave her an extra dollar tip every time I go there because of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the tomato juice just gets bigger and bigger.
So now she gets a dollar tip.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the All About Craig Dean show.
Sorry, I stole your thunder, Glenn.
But if you think about that with Kurt, what do we have? 2 minutes left? We have about 2 minutes. We have 2 minutes left.
Remember, Glenn, you're a guest.
But you know what's interesting with the last 2 minutes?
I am.
Is that, yes, you are. Is that not only in restaurants, but people can do that in their own business and make people feel what? Special.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about, Mr.
Yes,
Craig Dean?
I've always made myself feel special.
All right, enough pillow talk. Okay, so anyway, let's get back to Glenn. Glenn Gormley, you're here in studio. So we only have like a minute and a half.
And I really appreciate that not being quite so special right now.
But. You are special, Mr. Glenn.
No, and it...
That wasn't me.
I'm hearing noises.
He's looking at me. He thinks my head's rattling.
There went the cat again.
It doesn't take much to make a difference with your customer.
That's the key. That's the bottom line. Let's go to Kara.
How come you said that so quickly?
It's the Craig Dean Show. We got to get back to you. Okay.
Remember, it's just not just about your business. It's about that personal relationship.
Nice. Let's go to Leanne.
I am interested in being happy.
Okay. I think you are happy. You're smiling.
I want that so much in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, we just, there's not enough time in the day. I want to be happy while I'm doing my work. That's really important to me.
And that's called state of being goals versus doing goals.
We spend so much time at our work.
Yeah.
I don't want to be going, I wish it were Saturday or I wish it were Sunday. I want to be glad that it's Monday.
And back to Craig.
I have nothing to say.
Okay. Well, this has been a remarkable entrepreneurial spirit. Look, I almost didn't even say that right. And thank you, Craig Dean.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you,
Leanne. I appreciate everybody coming on my show.
Absolutely. Thank you, Carol Lee.
Thank you, David.
And thank you, Glenn Gormley.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, and that is Elvis. He left the building. And thank you, of course, to Bill Montgomery. He's always awesome.
Yes.
And we hope he runs again. And I bet he will. Leanne, you are correct. Stay tuned. Of course, tomorrow, 2 to 4, we have another episode. Actually, we got a fifth Tuesday program. So that is sponsored by The Bottom Line. Be sure to listen to that. And we'll see you guys, next week.
We have a special guest.
Who's that?
Me.
Okay. Entrepreneurial spirit next Monday from 2:30 to 4. We'll see everyone tomorrow.